Good morning again. It is good to be here with you folks once again. And I mentioned it this morning, but I do want to thank you folks for your support from my wife and I in the ministry of First Bible International. It is a blessing to partner with you folks in this ministry. Appreciate Pastor Jensen allowing us to come back and preach this morning and be with you folks. And I understand there's some Winklerites here this morning from Winkler. Is that right? Oh, amen. That's where we're from now. So we're Winklerites. Is that the right way to say it? Winklerites? Winklerettes? But good to have you folks with us this morning. Good to renew some friendships that we've had and people that we've met already and get to know a little bit. It is a blessing to be in God's house. And I'm thankful I got saved 40 years ago when I was 23. And that kind of dates me, amen. Now you know how mature I am. I was telling Brother Steve this morning, I'm not getting older, I'm getting more mature. Problem is, my wife is not quite sure that's the reality, amen. But we are privileged to be in God's house this morning. We're privileged to be saved, amen. We have God's Word. We have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us as God's people. And we are different, amen, because of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us. And I'm thankful for that. Turn in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Pastor asked me to preach on faith, promise, missions, giving. And so that's my assignment this morning. And this evening, we'll see how fast we go through the message. I tend to, my wife looked at my message and she said, honey, you better trim that thing down a little bit. So we'll see how that goes this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Let's stand as we read a passage of Scripture here. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 are the faith promise chapters. And really, in context, what it is Paul was, when he would go around to different churches, he would collect offerings for the poor saints at Jerusalem. They were very much persecuted, and so he would gather offerings as he would go around. And this is the offering that he's talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And there are principles that we'll see probably more tonight than this morning. But this is what we use in principle for faith, promise, missions, giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you this same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity of being in church this morning. Thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, thank you that we can open it. We can glean principles and precepts for our Christian lives, that we can be a success. And not only a success personally, but we can be a blessing to others. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you became poor that we might be rich. You took our sins upon your body that we might have eternal life, that we might have forgiveness of sin, that we might have successful life. And so, Father, I pray that as we go through some thoughts this morning on giving, that you would challenge us, that we would have the same mind. Colossians says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but gave himself. And Lord, help us to give ourselves in this area of our Christian life, to be willing to give, to be anxious to give. And Lord, I pray that you just bless our time now. We love you and thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I do want to thank also, I don't want to forget this, but I do want to thank John and Sean for allowing us to invade their home and be with them. And it is a blessing to be able, this is the second time we're able to be with them. We must have been okay the first time for them to bring us back the second time, amen? Or Pastor may have paid them real good for us to be there once again. But we appreciate them very much and appreciate their fellowship. Pray for Sean. She's had a migraine and unable to be with us this morning. So when you think of her, do pray for her. I know she'd appreciate it very much. So we're talking about giving. Now, in our Baptist churches, there are basically four ways that we would consider giving to missions. One is the faith promise. Giving is what we're talking about today, and that's what Capital City has been involved in, is faith promise missions giving. The other is church members actually give personally to mission, to missionaries. In fact, they don't take the money and go through the church, but they give the money personally to missionaries. Another way is many churches give 10% out of their general fund to missionaries, and some churches will do faith promise plus 10%. Now, none of these ways are necessarily really wrong. I kind of believe in local church giving. I believe the best way is to give through the local church to the missionaries, because that really, that's a biblical principle, doing it that way. So there's two ways that are absolutely wrong of giving, and that is, number one, tipping. Tipping to missionaries. In other words, I think I'll just give $5 today, and maybe in a week or 10 days or 10 weeks or 2 months or whatever it is, I'll give another $5 or whatever. You're tipping. Amen? That's not a good way to give to missionaries. Another way is you don't give to missions at all. That's not a good way either. Amen? So what I want to talk to you about is faith promise missions giving. My wife and I have been involved in this program for missions giving for many, many, many years. We have seen God bless. In fact, in our church, we had people that came in from a different church, and they became members of our church. And they had not really experienced missionaries coming into the church. And then when we presented the faith promise missions giving, they were amazed at our giving first, and then they didn't understand it at first, but they became involved. And some years later, I asked them, I said, so what do you think of faith promise missions giving? And they were amazed at how God blessed them. And they gave testimony after testimony of how God blessed in their Christian lives because they were involved in the faith promise missions giving of the Vision Baptist Church. So I believe faith promise missions giving glorifies God. It glorifies our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are really dependent upon Him to give through us towards missions. It grows our faith and it takes care of missionaries. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. But first, if you turn with me to Exodus chapter 34 and verse 4. Exodus 34 and verse 4. Here is an offering I want to talk about four different offerings first, four different occasions of offering that God's people were involved in, three in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. And the first one is the tabernacle offering, the tabernacle offering. He says in Exodus chapter 35, verse 4, Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. So now this offering was to build the tabernacle. You remember the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And they, after spending 400 years in bondage, God brought them out of Egypt. And God said, okay, I want to build a place. I want you to build us a place that I can meet with you. And so the tabernacle is what God had instructed Moses to build. But it took money to build this tabernacle. Amen. And so he said to the children of Israel, now I want you to bring an offering so we can start building this tabernacle. Look, verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. So here we see that it was a willing offering. They didn't have to bring, but that was a willing offering. Verse 5 of chapter 36. Notice what happened. So here Moses says, listen, let's bring this offering in. Let's build this tabernacle for the glory of God. So we need money. Start bringing in whatever you can into this offering and we'll build the tabernacle. Verse 5 of Exodus 36. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Pastor Jensen, wouldn't you like to have that problem? Amen. Verse 7, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. So here, they commanded to make this tabernacle. God said, make the tabernacle, bring a willing offering to make this tabernacle. So the children of Israel started to bring and bring and bring and bring. And finally they said, whoa, stop bringing. You got too much here. Amen? And again, that's a good problem to have, isn't it, Pastor? Too much. So that's the tabernacle offering. Look with me now, 2 Chronicles 24. I guess I did want you to notice it was they brought willingly. Verse 5 of Exodus 34. So while you're turning to 2 Chronicles, I'll bring this out. It says, whosoever is of a willing heart. 29 of Exodus 35 says, and they brought a willing offering. And then it says further in that verse, made them willing. You know, it's a willing offering. It was a command to build, but a willing offering. 2 Chronicles 24:8. So now the context of this is Jehoash, king of Judah. He ascended the throne and the temple was a mess. It was broken down. It was neglected. They had brought idols into this temple. They had worshipped, previous kings had worshipped false idols. And so now Jehoash had become the king of England. Or king of England. What country am I in here? the king of Judah. He wanted to repair the house of God, the temple of God. So this is the temple offering. Look in verse 8. And this is how they did it. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Verse 11, now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, notice that, much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest, took it, carried it into his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. So you catch the what's happening. They built the chest, put it in front of the temple, and people started to give. It filled up. They took it. They dumped it. They brought the chest back, and people brought again, and they filled it up again. They took the chest and they dumped it, brought the empty chest back, and the people filled it again. So they did this day by day, okay? And they gathered money in abundance. Verse 12. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money. Notice that, the rest of the money. So they had enough to fix up the temple, build it nice again, but there was still some money left over. Notice what they did. Before the king, Jehoiada, and whereof were made the vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister, and to offer withal, and spoons, and vessels of gold and silver, and they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. So notice this offering again, it was a willing offering. People were not forced to bring the money in. It was a willing offering. In fact, look in verse 10. And this is our attitude when we give our ought to be, amen. It says, and all the princes and all the people rejoiced. Man, they were happy. They rejoiced. Man, we get to give so that this temple can be built again to its previous glory. And they rejoiced. They were glad to give. It was a willing offering. Then the next one, look with me in Ezra, chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. And I marvel when I think about the circumstances of this. Now, you all know what's happened. The nation of Israel and the nation of Judah, they were at one time one nation, but because of Rehoboam's desire to rule over the people, the kingdom was split into the north and the south, kingdom of Judah, kingdom of Israel. The kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes, they went into idolatry really, really soon, very quick, because they had set up a couple of golden calves in their land, and they started worshiping these golden calves. They went off into captivity in 722 B.C. But the two tribes of Judah, Judah and Benjamin, they kind of hung around a little bit longer. But slowly but surely, they went off into idolatry as well. And in 586 B.C., the nation of Babylon came and took them captive. And this was in fulfillment of what God had told the nation of Israel, what would happen. They spent 70 years in captivity, and then God brought them back into the land. Notice who he used to bring them back into the land. Ezra chapter 1 says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. So here God is using a heathen king, king of Persia, to bring the nation of Israel back into their homeland. It says, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Notice in verse 3, king of Persia says, hey, I got a command by God to build his house. Then he makes a proclamation, says, okay, I'm looking for some men and women to go back to Jerusalem and build the house of God. I'm looking for volunteers. Amen? That's what he said. Amen? Is looking for volunteers. Whoever wants to go and build this house, let's go. I'll send you over there. Volunteer. But then look in verse 4. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods and with beasts, with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. So here is a willing offering again. They were to send money to with these people who were going back to build the house of God at Jerusalem. There was a willing offering. So they were commanded, hey, listen, you must give, but give willingly to build this house. So this is the captivity offering, the captivity offering. But notice again, all willingly. And that's what the Faith Promise Missions giving is about. It is a willing offering. It's not a commanded offering. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Here is a New Testament example of a willing offering. And this is, of course, our Faith Promise or Grace Giving offering. 2 Corinthians 8:1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. So this was a willing offering. All four cases, there was a command to give, but the people gave willingly, not by constraint. You know, we don't need to be guilted into giving. Amen? I don't want to guilt you into giving. I want you to give when you fill out this Faith Promise card. I want you to do it willingly. Pastor Jensen wants you to do it willingly. The Lord wants you to do it willingly. He wants you to rejoice in this offering. Amen? Say, man, I get to give to missions. I am thankful I can give to missions. God's given me the ability to give to missions, and I want to do it with joy. I don't want to, I got to give to missions. If I don't, pastor will feel bad, and he'll knock on my door and say, how come you haven't given? No, he'll never do that. Amen? But it's a willing offering. We want you to do it with joy. Now, we're not talking about the tithe. You understand there is a difference between the tithe and missions offering, okay? The tithe is 10%. And I'm sure pastors talked about this. 10% off the top, amen? Not after Trudeau gets his pound of flesh there, amen? Not after all of the other taxes and this and that and that, and your paycheck starts out to be $2,000 and you get it and you think, man, $800, that's all I got left. You understand, it comes off the top. That's what the tithe is of everything that God blesses you with. So that is the tithe. By the way, the tithe is to take care of the rent of your building. The tithe is to take care of the lights, if you're paying lights here, or heat. takes care of the pastor's salary, takes care of gospel tracts, which you're passing out into the neighborhood, takes care of any of your printing needs, takes care of your audiovisual ministry. It is for the maintenance of the local church. That's what the tithe is specifically for. Missions money is for missions. Amen. You don't take missions money and you take it and support your pastor. That's not what missions money is for. Your missions money is not to take care of the rent of the building. It's for missions. Right, Pastor? You're with me, right? Amen. I don't want him to wag his finger at me after. But that's what missions money is for. It is to go and spread the gospel throughout the world, not to take care of the local church and its ministries. So we understand that. Now, what I want you to turn with me first, Luke chapter 21, verse 1. We understand the tithe belongs to God. That is a commanded offering. By the way, tithing shows a few things in the life of a believer. It shows obedience to God. Shows obedience to God. Secondly, it shows God's claim on our life. He is the Lord of our life. Therefore, we will be obedient to Him. Third, it shows God's faithfulness to us, His continual provision. Now, there are four different kinds of offerings that I see. In Luke chapter 21, verse 1, there's two offerings I see in this passage of Scripture. Is that clock an hour out? Man alive, I haven't even got to page 4 yet. Two of the four offerings I see in Luke chapter 21, verse 1. And we see that he looked up, Jesus looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have cast of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living she had. So there's two offerings here. There's the sacrificial offering. That's the widow's mite offering. Notice she cast in all her, what? Living. So she cast out of, she had to sacrifice. Maybe she couldn't do what she wanted to do, and she had to scrape together a couple of pennies just to cast that into the offering. However it was, we see it was a sacrificial offering. She went without so she could give. Then there was the abundance offering. Notice those that had a lot, the rich, they cast in of their abundance. And by the way, Jesus didn't say that was wrong. Amen. He didn't say all those bad rich people casting in so much money. No, he just remarked the difference between the two. Amen. One was sacrificial. One was an abundance offering. Folks, we can have an abundance and then give to God. And God's pleased with that too. Amen. Then there's two other offerings. One I call the just because offering. The just because. And it's just because I have $5, I'll throw it in when the offering plate comes around. Amen. I have $20 and I'll throw it in just because I have it and I just feel like giving something today. That's what I call the just because offering. I know you couldn't find that in Scripture maybe, but that's what I call it, the just because. And then there's the faith giving, which is what we're going to be talking about more in depth. And this is where we rely on the Lord. We have said, okay, Lord, I believe you want me to give $40 a week towards missions. I am going to trust you to take care of that offering. I'm going to trust you for that $40 every week so I can put it in towards missions each and every week. Now, you may do it bi-monthly or monthly, however you do it. But the idea is you're trusting God for that $40 each and every week, or $10 or $5 or $400, whatever it is that the Lord's laid on. but you're trusting God by faith, and it is a commitment week after week, week after week, month after month for the whole year. And that money goes towards missions. That is a faith promise missions offering. Now, why? Why should we give to missions? That is really the focus of my message for the next 6 minutes, and you're going to have to listen fast once again. First, it brings glory to God. Look in 2 Corinthians 9:13. It brings glory to God. When we give to missions, God is glorified. God is honored when we give to missions. 2 Corinthians 9:13, it says, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they, now he's talking, the they are the poor saints at Jerusalem who are going to receive the offering, says, glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. So what Paul's saying is, because you have given liberally, because you have taken care of us, we are glorifying God. We're praising God for your liberal distribution. I submit to you that the missionaries that you support right now, when they get their support, they are glorifying God because of your liberal distribution to them. I know I praise God for your liberal distribution unto my wife and I. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I really feel humbled when churches partner with us in this area of financial giving. I really am. I'm amazed that churches would actually support us. And I praise the Lord for that. I praise God for that. And missionaries glorify God because of your liberal distribution. Look in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians 4:19. Actually, let's look at 4:10. Philippians 4:10. He says to this missions-minded church, the Philippian church, he says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. The Philippian church kept on giving to Paul in his mission work, kept on giving and giving and giving. Notice what Paul said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. So when we give in missions, it glorifies our Lord Jesus Christ. Second thought for you this morning is in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. The Lord says something very interesting in this passage. He's talking about tithing now, not missions giving, not faith giving, not grace giving, if you will. He's talking about tithing, but notice what he says to these people. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Notice what he says. Prove me. Prove me. Test me. Put me to the test in your tithes. I submit to you that God says that to us in our missions giving as well. Prove me. See that I won't bless you, that I'll open the windows of heaven and take care of you like you could ever imagine. He says, prove me. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God rewards those who diligently seek. God is glorified when we prove him. Look with me in Matthew. Here's a story of faith. And I love this story. I try and bring this out as many times as I possibly can. Here is a man of faith. Peter. Sometimes he's not so much a man of faith, is he? Sometimes a man of carnality. Very much like what we are sometimes. Amen? Yeah. Faith, not so much. Faith, not so much. Spiritual, carnal. Amen? But here he is, a man of faith. Matthew 14:22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, I'm going to prove you." That's what he said. "I'm going to prove you. If it be thou, if you be God, I'm going to prove you. Bid me come unto thee on the water." Jesus said, "Come, I'll answer that challenge." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me. I'm dependent on you, Lord. Save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped them, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." A few things I want you to notice. Jesus said to the disciples, "I want you to get into the ship and go to the other side." So the disciples were obedient to his command, right? To get into the ship and to go. So how many times do we know the voice of God, or we've read something in Scripture and we're obedient to that and we do what God says and we figure everything's going to be all right? Correct? Amen? We get into the ship, we start walking with God, and we're going, and all of a sudden, in the midst of it all, the wind is contrary. The waves are coming up. The circumstances of life are tossing us back and forth and back and forth. And we wonder, can we even make it through this? Can I really give my $40 a week? I'm in the midst of this, Lord. I'm being obedient to you, Lord. But yet now the wind is contrary. The circumstances of life are coming and I'm not doing so well. Amen. Notice when Peter stepped into the water, when the waves were calm, when things were nice and easy. Is that what it says? Man, the wind was contrary. The boat's rocking back and forward. The disciples are trying to keep that ship right into the waves forward. Amen. Because if they let it sit this way, what happens? They flip over. You're right, Steve. It flips over. So they're working hard to keep this boat, this ship, straight into the waves. And Peter's out there walking on water. Wouldn't you like to walk on water? I would. I think that would be exciting. Amen. The winds are going and I'm getting to walk on water. He's the only one who walked on water. Amen. He said, "Hey, if you're really God, let me walk on water. If we're really God and you really can provide, I'm going to prove you." What happened? Man, he walked on water. You say, look, but he looked at Jesus and he looked at the circumstances and sank. See, he's not really a man of faith. Sure he is. Lord, save me. Amen? Lord, save me. So he had enough faith to believe that he could walk on water, and he had enough faith to believe that when the things weren't going so well, the Lord would still take care of him. Amen. My time's gone, and I have so much more to preach to you. But I wonder, think about if you were walking on water and you had that experience. Go down in your life 5 years. Go down in your life 10 years. Would you remember that experience? Amen? I know I would. I'd look back on that and say, man, I remember when I walked on water. So if God could take care of me then, I could walk on water then. And even when I sank, the Lord took care of me. Then God can take care of me. Amen? So our experiences, when we step out by faith, when we start faith giving, I submit to you, there will be challenges. The wind will be contrary. And there will be times where you feel like I'm sinking. And I'm not going to be able to do it. And you'll have to cry out and say, Lord, save me. I can't do it. And what did the Lord do? Let him drown, right? Let him flounder a little bit. Well, Peter, you're an idiot. Why are you looking at the circumstances of life? I'll let you just sink for a little while. It'll be a good lesson to you. No, it says immediately. I love that. Amen. Immediately. Jesus lifted him up. Amen. And what does it say? By the way, what did the disciples think when Jesus walked out on the water? I think they probably thought, Peter, you're an idiot. Don't do that. If you step out, you're going to go like a rock, man. I've seen you eat. You're going to go right down. You can't do it. No one's ever done that before. You can't walk. No one has ever done that before. Honey, we've never done that before. We can't do that. Amen. I wonder if the disciples looked back on that event 5 and 10 years later and remembered that their buddy, Peter, walked on water. Amen? So when we step out in faith in our giving, this is one way we step out by faith. Amen? We step out by faith in our giving. It builds our faith. Could I submit to you that it will build other people's faith as well? Not that we wear a little badge on our hat, you know, I give $40 a month or a week to missions. This is me. But when people see God bless your life and you say, man, they say, hey, Steve, how come things are happening? You say, man, because missions, I've been given to missions faithfully, committed to that. And God just blesses me. This is how I know God keeps me and blesses and answers my prayer. Because I've been faithful in this area of missions giving. My time is gone and my message is long.